Mommy, I'm bored. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
Dad, I'm tired of the swing. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
There's no room to build a sandcastle. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America? Make your day prehistoric at the Bronx Zoo Dinosaur Safari.
Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Welcome to Hour 2.
Welcome back to the second hour of Remnant Battle Lines with Watchman and Tower. It's Thursday, the 12th day of July, 2018, and you are listening to Warn Radio. Tonight on the show, Part 7 of John's Gospel Witness to Jesus Christ, the True Shepherd on Battle Lines. And now I welcome back the Watchman.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Dana.
Yep, thank you, Tower.
You're welcome.
Okay, the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Note the word again. I like this. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" You know, and you read this, and it's just like, you know, is he screaming? Is he shocked? Is he, "Dear God in heaven, you're going to kill me. Why?" No, it's, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. Which of those are you going to stone me?" You know, he's in control of the situation. They don't threaten him. And we see this when we study the Messiah in the Lord in this. Even when they went to the garden to get him, he had to ask them, "Who do you seek?" And when they told him, he said, "I am he," they fell back. That happened twice. You know, we see this power, the witness of the gospel, where they were ready to stone him or kill him, you know, they're going to throw him off the cliff or whatever they were doing. He would walk through the middle of them because it wasn't his time. At this instant here, the Jews, and of course you see this with the Jews, they have that temper like Ishmael. They do. They have some of the same characteristics. They can be quick to temper. And we see this. So the Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Now you see, he didn't say here that he was God, but yet he did. Because he was talking about his Father, who is God over all. And he says, "We are one." And for the Jews, that was enough. And remember, they knew the book. Not enough to recognize him, but they knew the book enough to know what he was saying. "I and my Father are one."
John says it in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Period. John don't make no, you know, he's God. He was in the beginning with God. And he was God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the Lord says, is it not written in your law, I said you were gods? And if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, the scripture cannot be broken. Say of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. See, now, he says it right out. Thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God. That's what he's saying that they said of him. And if I'm not doing the works of my Father, don't believe me. But if I'm doing the works, which of course everybody knew he was, then believe him. So the least you could know that the works testify that the Father is in the Son. And that the Son's in the Father. Well, verse 39 says, therefore they sought to take him again, but he escaped out of their hand. How did he do it? Did he beat him up? What did he do? See, this is the whole thing. There was a power. They weren't going to stone him. They threatened to. It wasn't his time. And, you know, many times I'll say, it's not in our time. It's in the Lord's timing. And when you read the Gospels like this, you really get a sense of the timing. He was there to testify to the Jews of the truth. They had to know. He was going to tell him he is the Son of God, that he is the chief shepherd. He is the one that you have to believe upon and receive. Now see, we see this same kind of action with Stephen when they stoned him, the Jews. It's the same kind of reaction when they came across Peter. They tried to throw him in jail and get rid of him. And with Paul, they stoned him, beat him up, you know, in various parts. I mean, people did. Usually the Jews were behind it. And so the Lord went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him. Now see, this is the amazing thing. What he was able to do. Walking around. talking to him. Miracles and signs and wonders. And I'll tell you, when I talk about chapters in John to read, I always tell people John 10 all the way through 18. There are some really important things in those chapters. Now, in the last thing we were talking about, the Great Shepherd, he establishes himself as the shepherd, the chief shepherd of the sheep. And he establishes his relationship as the Son of God by talking about his Father and him being one. This is the relationship that he had. In between the Father, he connected the Father to us. And he's the one that did it. He stood in the breach. And he did it through the cross. Now, when we come to chapter 11, we have the death of Lazarus. But there is a point to this. There was nothing done that didn't have a reason. Because in this, he establishes one of the paramount truths of the gospel and who he is. It is the reason that we do not have to fear death and that life comes to us. John 11 in verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was not that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. I find this interesting because he's always talking about glorifying the Father. And in this verse, it's about the Son of God being glorified. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Yeah, he's going to go back. Why? Because he's in charge. The Jews threatened to stone him, but they didn't. And the reason they didn't is because he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. It wasn't time. Everything had to be fulfilled. And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? Now see, we thought, well, no, there's 24 hours in a day. No, there's so many hours of daylight, so many hours of night. And if you're back in these days where you have normal working hours, that's what he's talking about, 12 hours. If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he sees the light of this world. And he used a couple of little references here, you know. The normal thing, of course, if you're walking in the daytime, you're not going to stumble because you have the light of the world. you know, it's like simple, okay? If you're walking around, you know, there's a lot of time in the day and you're going to walk around and that's when you do your work and you're not going to stumble because you have the light of the world and you can see where you're going. But if a man walks in the night, he stumbles because there is no light in him. See, now, every time the Lord spoke, and the one thing that he said, my words are spirit and they are life. So even when he talked before with the Jews, and he's talking about the great shepherd and all of that, there's application in the physical, but there's always that application in the spiritual. And many people go about in the world today working. And they have no problem. And there's even people that are blind that go about walking and working. But you see, the thing of it is, they really, unless they know the Lord, they're in darkness. And so if a man walk in the night, he's going to stumble. Now see, they didn't have flashlights. They had lanterns and other things, I suppose. Various kinds of oil lanterns is what they had. Oil lights, candles. If a man walk in the night. Now see, there are time periods. The night being descriptive of the time that comes when darkness, the evil darkness, appears and the power of darkness has its way. In the night also refers to the night when the sun is down and people traditionally sleep, and when they're walking around it's hard to see, so you do stumble. But this walking in the night is talking about sin. It's talking about stumbling because he has no light. He does not know the truth. He makes mistakes. He stumbles. And see, this is the way a lot of people are in the world. And they think that they're fine. And they may not see themselves as stumbling, but they have no light in them, no truth. These things said he, after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now again, my words are spirit, and they are truth. He's not talking about physical sleep, like you and I would sleep at night. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. No, he's not talking of sleeping. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they had thought he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go up unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Now, it's hard to say why he said that. But see, remember, this is a group of disciples. They're not apostles. You know, you can call them apostles, but they're in training. So just like Peter, you know, you may say things and you may do things, and they may not always make sense or do right. Because they still didn't understand. They really had no idea what he was going to do. Because what he's about to do, is something that puts him alone. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Mary and our Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother, which would have been normal. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you have been here, my brother had not died. But see, she doesn't know really what he's going to do. Nobody really at this point. Now see, they believe he's the Messiah. But what he's about to do is a miracle that hadn't been done around them. I doubt there'd been anybody in that entire Roman Empire that had done anything like this. I know there wasn't. And even going back to the prophets doing miracles and signs and wonders, you'd have been hard-pressed to find one. You know, except getting back into the old times of Israel. During the time of Elijah and Elisha and Samuel. Because there's a purpose. Now see, Martha went because you can see in this there's an earnest in her that maybe she is reaching here saying that I know that he wouldn't have died if you'd have been here. But he is dead. So it's her way of coming to grips with having her faith in the Lord that if he had been there, he would have lived. But since the Lord wasn't there to perform the miracle, her brother died. Not knowing, and of course Mary still sitting in the house would illustrate she is totally broken up over this. As is Martha, but they dealt with it differently. But I know, says Martha, that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Now see, she said that, but in the following discourse, she really doesn't understand where they're going with this. See, this is her faith. Whatever you ask of God, he will give it to you. She believed that. And that's why she went to meet him in the first place. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha had no problem with that. She said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now see, this is the difference between those that understand the miraculous and those who may not understand the miraculous. This is your expectation, your faith. But still, even in this, she's not there. She believes that he could do it. She knows that her brother's going to be raised again at the resurrection. But I don't think she's there yet after 4 days to believe that he can raise her up, raise Lazarus from the dead. And this is exactly why he's doing this. He's doing it in front of a whole crowd. They've had time to gather for mourning and comfort and wailing and mourning and doing all the stuff that they do. But he's about ready to show them that he is Lord. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He asked her. She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now see, this is our hope. As Paul said, if we have hope in this life only, then we are of all men most miserable of creatures. Our hope is beyond the grave. Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the Son of God, who died for us and was resurrected from the dead, he is. Now this is, I am. He does this a lot. Just like Moses asking the Lord, who shall I tell them sent me? I am hath sent me. I am that I am. I have always been. I always will be. I am. I exist. There was never a point when I wasn't existing. I am God. There was nothing before me. I am. I am the resurrection and the life. That is our hope. No matter what happens in the world, no matter who dies, no matter who lives, no matter where we go, no matter what happens on the earth, no matter what the economy does, no matter who the president is, no matter how many Muslims want to kill you, no matter how many Hindus want to kill you, or maybe nobody wants to kill you, the bottom line of it is, no matter how many devils, how many Satans, how many Lucifer, all these others, all these weirdos, all these wackos, all... And all the good stuff too. Because we have beautiful stars, beautiful mountains and hills and valleys. We have children, we have family, we have life, we have peace, we have joy. Everything. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. I create it. I am life. You can't kill life. Why was he resurrected from the dead? Because he is life. His body died, but he is life. You can't kill life. Just like darkness can't overtake light unless there is no light. That's the only time darkness can win, is when there isn't no light. That's why the Lord said, you are the light of the world. We're to be the salt of the earth. Our churches are supposed to be light. We're not supposed to be like the world. We're not supposed to be as the world. We are in the world. But we're not of the world. So he's telling her, I am eternal, forever, always. There was never a point to where I wasn't. Resurrection. I resurrect those things which are dead, Martha. I resurrect them. I lift them up because I am life. He that believes in me, because I am life, even if you were dead, you would live because I am life. That's what his father is life. You can't take that life away. No matter how much men may want this God and his son to go away, they can't do it. They are life. Because whatever you kill, they can resurrect. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she did. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary his sister, secretly saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goes to the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you have been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. See, they believed that he could do miracles. But they weren't there to the resurrection and the life yet. That's why he was troubled. Now, they would believe anything he said. They may not understand it, but they would believe it. Peter did things, and he said things he didn't understand, but he genuinely believed the Lord is who he was. Verse 34. This is the Lord, and said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, Behold, how he loved him. Now you see, there's one thing you do is weep with those who weep, mourn with those who mourn, or you rejoice with those who rejoice. He was fully God, but he was also fully man. The Spirit was perfect. He had the fullness of the Spirit in a human body, human emotions. And when you get in an arena, a time, or a place where there is mourning and there is sadness, it can overcome you. Now, I have heard preachers preach this, but it's simple. It's not complex. Two words. Jesus wept. Have you ever wept before the Lord? Have you ever mourned along with someone and wept because they wept? Have you ever got caught up in a movie and emotionally wept, and it was just a story? And so the Jews, being that they're Jews, are going to be wondering. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Yeah, he could have. But you see, the Lord had come with a greater purpose. He didn't come just to show you that he could do miracles for people to be healed. He came to die on the cross. He came to save us from our sins. He came to shed his blood. He came to triumph openly over all principalities and powers and thoroughly destroy the power of the devil. That's what he came for. It takes more than just a few miracles. When you get beyond this life, you have to be in charge of the spirit world. Be Lord of lords and King of kings, the Almighty. Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Yeah, see, they will know. See, the Jews have it down. And, of course, more than likely, at this time, they had to get him in the grave because they begin to decay and begin to stink, so you want to get him in the tomb. Especially in hot weather. And, of course, in the winter time, you can't bury him, so you got to put him in a cave and let him freeze until you get somewhere. And, you know, I mean, if you were going to dig a grave. See, they still haven't figured it out. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God? Now see, this is what he's trying to tell them. He's the resurrection and the life. He has life in him. And the glory of God is that life going into the lives of his, those who believe in him. And when they die, he can resurrect them from that death, give them new bodies, and they're eternally alive. He's the resurrection and the life. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people much stand by, I said it that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, and bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin, and Jesus said unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Now see, they didn't expect that. They didn't know what he was going to do. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Now see, this is the difference between a true shepherd, someone that cares for the shepherd, the sheep, and a hireling, and thieves and robbers. He has just proven that he is the resurrection and the life. But some of those there decided that they'll go tattletale to the big mucky mucks. Maybe they were getting paid to keep an eye on him. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. That's the key. Selfish. The chief priests and the Pharisees in their council were hirelings, thieves, and robbers. They could care less that he was the Son of God. They could care less that he could deliver the people. They couldn't even care about that Lazarus was from the dead. They probably wish that he wasn't. They're concerned was losing their rank, losing, everything they had, money, power, importance, wealth, prestige, pride. That's the hireling. That's the robber and the thief. And yes, you can find him in the church. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, "You know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not." And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Now the high priest probably didn't even realize what he said. He probably didn't fully understand it, but it was prophecy. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, "What think ye, that he will not come to the feast?" Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that he might take him. So they were looking for him. Now we're in verse 12. Verse 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. This was on the 9th day of Nisan, our Thursday, sunset to Friday sunset. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always." Now see, this anointing was anointing for his burial. And of course, this is prophetic, and this is an event that had to happen. This is symbolic. This tells us in this story that he's getting prepared to go through everything leading up to the crucifixion. Much of the people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus also, whom he had risen from the dead. So this is the miracle that spread around, and they're still wanting to see this. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Isn't this amazing? So they're going to kill the Lord. You know, they're going to go after him. But they want to take care of Lazarus because they don't want to walk in miracle. Yeah, that's going way beyond a hireling here. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. This is the fourth day before Passover, the 11th of Nisan, our Saturday sunset to Sunday. From the day of this solemn entry into Jerusalem, Christ, our Passover, was virtually set apart to be sacrificed for us. Now see, this is the culmination. He's going to go through the streets. They're going to be celebrating. So they heard that Jesus was coming. And of course, this is on the event of Lazarus being resurrected from the dead. So many of them had come to see Lazarus, but also to see the Lord. They believed it was a miracle that they hadn't seen around there. All the while, the people were believing on him. The thieves and robbers and hirelings, they were getting prepared to kill him. So the people took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh sitting on an ass's colt. Zechariah 9:9 is where you find that. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So he's fulfilling scripture. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. Yeah. After it was all over, they began to think of all the things they did, and they realized that he had fulfilled the scriptures. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for they that heard that he had done this miracle. The pilgrims, therefore, said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the whole world is gone after him. Now that's exactly what they had feared. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. So they want to see the Lord. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He's going to be the first fruits. He's going to bring forth a lot of fruit as a result of this death. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Now he's all putting this in the same context. He's getting ready to go to the cross. And this is going to be a time when everybody's going to forsake him. And so he's trying to make it clear and plain to the people that are around him. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him my Father will honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Now remember, he is fully God and fully man, and there now again, in his soul and in his spirit, he's getting ready to go through one of the toughest times, and he's still, you know, he's going to feel pain. It's not going to be a fun experience. He's going to suffer. He's going to bleed. The sins of the world are going to be laid upon him. So he's preparing. And while his soul may be troubled, he knew that this is the very reason that he came into the world. The whole thing comes down to this. If he didn't go to Calvary, if he didn't die on that cross, if he didn't get in the grave for 3 days and three nights and be resurrected, if he hadn't, not to mention being seen by many witnesses and ascending to the right hand of the Father, if he hadn't, there would be no hope. There would be no gospel. Now see, there's many today that would want you to believe that's the case. And in the teachings of Islam, that's exactly what they want you to believe. That the Lord failed. And they'll tell you he was a good man, he was a mighty prophet, but God don't have a son. That's Antichrist, folks. And there's a lot of different religions that have taken the original gospel that the apostles were given, and they have screwed it up. They have changed it. And I could rattle off a whole bunch of them out there now. You better be careful who you serve, and that you know the Lord. This is why he came. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. That's exactly what's going to happen. The devil's lost, folks. Don't let the enemy in darkness kid you. The devil and his minions have lost. And it says, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why churches should be preaching the gospel, teaching the gospel, lifting up the Lord, showing this. If you can read this book and not understand if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. This said he, signifying what death he should die. And he was lifted up. That's the very reason. That is our hope. Don't let anybody kid you. Don't let anybody fool you. That is what this is about. Absolutely and completely. It's just amazing when we think about it. And so, we are finished. I mean, we're down at John 12. We're going to stop there. And we will pick up from there. And we're going to be taking her to the end. There's a lot of good stuff in this section. Don't miss this. This lot of good stuff. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Bless those that hear it. Lord God, feed them. If they don't know you, Father, reveal yourself to them. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. To the glory of our Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Tower. So, tomorrow night, Hebrews. And these are real good close companion teachings. They really do go together.
Yeah, this is awesome, hearing about Jesus and what he's done for them and for us and for all to come.
Yep.
I'm thankful.
Yep. With that, we're going to have to get out of here.
Okay, good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Whenever you do, be sure to join us tomorrow night for Sound the Shofar, for part 8 of Hebrews Revelation of His Son, author and finisher of our faith. God bless you. We love you. We pray for you. Good night.
Shalom, everybody. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.
Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right, too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy 3 or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 410. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 417. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
There's a difference between do-it-yourself and do-it-for-a-living. At the Home Depot, we get that. And we're here to help pros get the job done with the products and brands you trust. Technology to keep your job on track. Job site delivery to save you time. And bulk pricing on over 4,000 items every day to save you money. When you've got a job, we're on the job. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing.